It is time for another journey deep into the lining of the magical talking hat. Hat wranglers Tony and William reach into the yawning chasm that is the hat and pull forth the questions you have posed. Will they tire of your question quickly? Is your name Azhatalin? Then perhaps they will, but then perhaps not. But that will remain a mystery until we venture into the magical talking hat.
Go! It did it.
Okay.
Hey, Phyllis is still alive. I have no idea what her name is. As a little old lady who walks back and forth. Like does like her shopping and stuff, but you only see her in like 8 months of the year, maybe even less, because of course it's too cold the rest of the time. And I don't know her name, but my father's mother was named Phyllis, so we call her Phyllis. But I don't know her actual name. But she's old, like glacial.
Oh, come on.
She looked really old, and I'm just saying we've lived here. It's going to be 10 years in June, and she's been here the whole time. So I was every winter I get a little concerned.
Mm.
Only a little bit, because, you know, I'm pretty solipsistic, so she doesn't really exist to me. But so it's good to see Phyllis is back.
Baby, Phyllis is still around.
Oh, good. How's she doing?
Walking.
Does she have her hat?
Yep.
Yep. There we go. So hello, welcome to the Magical Talking Hat Podcast, the only podcast in the world that knows what you will do next summer, which would have been a sequel to I Know What You Did Last Summer. That would have been kind of cool, I think. As opposed to, you know, the other stuff that they did.
Yeah.
It's like your standard slasher movie meets Minority Report or something. You know? I'm getting pre-vengeance because I have a psychic vision of what you're going to do and I'm punishing you for it now. Love that idea.
Yeah, that's good.
It's what Minority Report was missing, pre-vigilante justice.
Well, it kind of was pre-vigilante justice. Well, not vigilante, I guess.
No, see, that's the thing. Yeah.
Yeah.
People still get, you know, arrested and due process and all that jazz.
By cops, yeah.
Yes. No, I want vigilantes out there. Donning weird superhero costumes and going and fucking up people for
what
having,
they're gonna do.
For having not done anything yet. Yeah. Anyway, I'm Tony.
And I'm William, and this is episode 214.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes.
Okay.
And for those of you just joining us, I continue to be floored by your ability to come in like 3 minutes in. Anyway, if you're just joining us with 200 and what did you say?
14.
14, all right.
Well, 213. This is 214.
This is 214. So 213. So those of you joining us at 214 for the first time, here's how it goes. We have a hat. It is magical in that it has its own email address, themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. Cool people, though I should say not enough people, email that address, themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com, with little notes, topics, comments, questions, things like that. More people need to do this, or current people need to do this more. I don't know. There needs to be more emails, or else. The hat, all on its own, magically transmogrifies those emails into little note cards with the information written on them that manifest physically within the hat itself. We, its egalitarian servants, draw. Sorry, I had a little phlegm going on there. We draw the note cards out of the hat at random, read them on the air, talk about them till we're bored, do that for about an hour.
Yeah.
Realistically, it ends up being about a half hour. That's the whole show.
Yeah.
Before I ask you how your week is, I want to ask you something else.
Okay.
And this may pertain to your week or it may not, because honestly, I don't keep up enough to know if I'm like the last person to check this out or whatever. But have you seen the second Star Wars Episode 7 teaser trailer?
I don't think so.
It may be brand new. Somebody just brought it to my attention today. And here's what I want to say about it. Well, first of all, full disclosure, I watched it on mute. So I didn't hear any of the stuff. I just saw stuff.
Okay.
But in general, I don't give a fuck about Episode 7.
Why is that?
Because I just... honestly, because I'm not that big a fan of the original trilogy.
Okay.
I'm even less of a fan of the prequels.
Okay.
And so I'm like, whatever. And also, Disney owns it now, so whatever. That being said, there was never a question of whether or not I was going to see it. Mm. I mean, it's Star Wars. I'm going to check it out. Maybe not. I mean, certainly not right away, and maybe not even in the theaters. I don't know. But I'm sure I'll see it at some point. I mean,
okay, so. Sure. Fair enough.
All of that said, this trailer is the first thing that actually got me a little bit excited about it.
Really?
And it's not anything specific. It just feels, it just gets the vibe going. I mean, there are certain things, but it wasn't like a certain moment that did it. Just overall, I'm like, this feels cool. I want to check this out. So that's a good sign. Good. I'll show it to you after we're done.
Okay.
You
can see it.
And then I can hear what the sound is. So how was your week?
Well, it was, it was challenging because the other doll in the house, her grandmother passed away. And she, it was, breast cancer.
Mm.
So we had some warning and we were, you know, sort of with her in the hospice holding vigil, you know?
Yeah.
And that was a stressful thing. But you know, it's, you know what it's like when a person has cancer, you don't want them to go, of course, but they're suffering, you know, they're not in a good place. And she was 88 years old, and, you know, she'd live a very long and fruitful life. But, none of us wanted to see her go, but we could see that, you know, she needed a rest, you know? Yeah. And so there was some relief when she finally passed. If there's a silver lining to any of this, when we left her for the last time, the other doll in the house, her mom asked if we would take my brother-in-law, I guess, home with us to stay for a couple weeks. Which you know, we'd never had him over.
Yeah.
And actually, we're not really. We don't tend to have anybody over for an extended period of time.
Mm-hmm.
But as it turned out, you know, he's a young guy. He's, you know, well, I don't know. You might not think he's that young. He's 32 years old. As it turned out, we were actually in a pretty good position to have him. So we said, yeah, that'd be fine. So we've had him staying at our house for the last few days, and it's just been great. The woman who passed away, she was actually born here in Iowa City. Her mom and dad were graduate students of chemistry at the University of Iowa.
Uh-huh.
So there are places in Iowa City that, you know, there. For example, I think that when she was born, the University Hospital was what Seashore Hall is now.
I don't know what Seashore
Hall is. Well, it's a building on campus that, you know, it houses the sociology department, as it turns out.
Is it part of an experiment to see if people will fall for believing that this is the seashore?
No.
Because there's no seashore.
Well, that's, I think it's, someone's name was Seashore, I don't know.
Did they sell seashore?
Also, one of the homes that this woman lived in when she was an infant is still standing, so...
Mm.
So it was kind of, just today we went downtown and we, you know, hey, that's where your grandma was born because it was a hospital then. Oh, here's where your grandma lived here for a while. Oh, here your great-grandma did a lot of stuff here in the chemistry building on the campus.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, she was in a sorority and the house that she was, you know, she lived in as a sorority sister is, oh, that's over there, you know. So it was kind of fun and comforting, really, to see all this stuff and to talk about it. But yeah, it's, you know, it's always a a really heavy emotional time when you're going through things like that.
Oh, yeah.
And I actually got to know her pretty well, and we were good friends. So I was very sad to see her go, especially since, you know, naturally I haven't known her as long as everybody else. So it's like I always look forward to having more conversations with her and getting to know her even better.
The producer always would say that when we would visit my grandparents. I'd be like, oh, God, it's the same damn stories. And she's like, but they're new to me.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So, but you know, it's always inspiring to see when something like this happens, to see how a family responds in a helpful, therapeutic way.
It always can be inspiring.
No, yes, that's right. But
if they respond that way. Sometimes they really don't.
That's true, but it's definitely the case here because... well, one thing is that this woman was pretty well known where she was from. In fact, I think it was the day after she passed, there was like an article in the newspaper, not an obituary, but just an article about, you know, just all the people who knew her and were going to miss her when she was gone. And she didn't want a funeral. She wanted to be cremated, and she didn't want any kind of big ceremony or anything.
Mm-hmm.
But the family has decided that, well, maybe like a month or so afterwards, you know, when school's out and when people are going to be more available to do it, maybe we could have, because one thing she was known for was riding her bike around town. I mean, everybody mm-hmm. recognized her. Maybe we could have a bike ride for, you know, in her memory, and maybe we could make it an annual thing as a breast cancer kind of thing. When I heard this idea, one of her grandsons brought it up. I thought, that is brilliant.
Yeah,
in such a therapeutic idea, you know, right after a loss, to think that we might be able to do something that will help us and the whole community remember her, you know, mm-hmm. for indefinitely.
And theoretically help people, fewer people to meet the same fate.
That's right. So it just... It was the perfect idea at the perfect time, and it really sort of lifted our spirits after such a tragic loss. So it's been a bittersweet thing, you know. I mean, you lose somebody, but you know that they're resting. You know they're at peace, and also you know seeing a family respond in such a proactive and positive way and a mutually supportive way. And it's been great to get to know my brother-in-law better because he's the youngest kid. And I mean, I basically don't know him at all. I mean, you know, we've seen each other holidays and stuff, but even that, not very often. So it's been really great to have him over and he'll be here probably for another week, which we're thrilled about. So it's been, It's been, you know, it's just been the kind of week where it's hard, but when everybody comes together, it, you know, it's nice. It feels good. And so it's been kind of inspiring too. So it's been one of those weeks for me.
I'm consistently surprised at how unexpectedly I react to death, like every time. Like, I don't know if each one is so unique or if I'm constantly, my view on death is just still evolving all the time, but it seems like in such weird ways, regardless of the connection, I mean, close relatives, pets, stranger, I mean, not strange, but like vague acquaintances.
No,
stuff.
I think it's...
And sometimes...
Celebrities, even sometimes. Yeah,
sometimes.
Right.
Like, how is it that, like, a member of my family dying has very little impact one day, and then a celebrity dying makes me cry? Like...
Right.
And one cat, I will lose my mind. The other cat, I won't. And it's not like I liked the one cat better.
That's right, that's right. Well, I think it's both of the things you just said. I think every death is unique because your relationship is in the way you think about that person or animal or whatever is unique, but also yes, of course you change too. Yeah. So those two things together, it's going to make every single time a little different.
Well, and I have become more aware of the concept of mourning before death. There have been certain times where I've been relatively unaffected by death, and I've realized I'm like that person was too demented, or that person was already sort of gone from my life or things like that.
And so you've been mourning them for a while, probably.
Yeah.
I mean, that's true. Like my grandma, I've talked about this before. She had dementia, and you know, in terms of mourning her loss, I started way before she actually passed away. So in a way, I was already in the acceptance phase before it even happened. And then when it happened, you know, if you're already in the acceptance phase, then all that's left is for you to feel kind of relieved that she's finally not suffering.
That's how
anymore.
I was with my grandfather. And of course, then the other side, I've gone through all that with my grandma and she's still going. And her, at this life, her life is just a burden. So now I'm just like eager. I'm like, okay, when's she going to go?
Yeah, it's a tricky thing.
She just turned 100 this month. No, last month.
Oh, yeah. I think you said that.
She's a little bugger.
So, yeah, it's been a sad week, but a very positive, inspiring one, too. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm in a very good mood right now because of all the stuff we did today and all the stuff we talked about.
You can get a lot of cool family stuff out of those kind of things.
Yeah. It's unfortunate.
Especially when it's expected, because then it sort of becomes a family reunion kind of thing.
That's right. And it is unfortunate that, you know, even when I look back on my life, most of the best times I've had in getting together with people has been after someone passed away. You know, you hope it would be because you plan on it, and you have a reunion or a wedding or something. But the fact of the matter is, I've attended far more funerals than weddings or reunions in my life, and it has always been sort of a positive experience to get together with all these people. But you know,
yeah, you should just shed light on it and say, why does it take a death for us to do
exactly?
This?
That's right. That's right. So that's basically been my week. What about you?
Yeah, I totally want to follow that. Well, I was watching TV.
I'm sorry.
No, it's okay. I have no shame or tech, so I still will do it. We saw a movie.
What'd you see?
Edge of Tomorrow.
Tom
Cruise, sci-fi, military movie.
Is that the one that some people call something die and repeater?
Yeah. Spoiler alert for like the first 5 minutes. The whole point is he keeps dying in battle and coming back over and over.
We've seen it. I don't think I talked about it, but.
I'm unsurprised because there's not a lot to say. I have two things to say about this film.
Okay.
One, it's a halfway decent episode of The Outer Limits. It shouldn't have been its own full movie, but it would have been a pretty decent episode of The Outer Limits.
Oh, you didn't think it filled the time for the film?
No.
Okay.
And I knew because way before the end, I was like, don't care anymore. Super don't care
really?
Anymore.
Really? Well, I can't say that I was incredibly engaged, but I guess I didn't feel like it.
To the degree that I was like, there's a few different ways they could end this. And I would love for somebody to tell me. But like, if you could just tell me right now, I wouldn't have to watch the last half hour.
Okay, well,
because it's one intriguing concept and that's it. But it is good effects and things. But the second thing I will say, is the last 5 minutes is some bullshit.
Yeah, well, I don't remember, so yeah, probably
the end essentially.
Probably
absolute bullshit. And I won't say anything else because no spoilers. But as soon as the credits went, I was like, really, like fuck you, like
well,
no,
yeah, I didn't. I wouldn't say I liked the film, but I didn't really. I didn't leave it have with strong feelings either way, honestly.
I found it fine.
Yeah.
In the sense that it's fine to watch, and if you never see it in your whole life, that is also fine.
Yeah, I think, that's a...
It was kind of fun action. It had some good moments. It had decent performances, but it's... I don't care. But the last 5 minutes is fucking bullshit. Full on. Bullshit.
I don't even remember it.
Oh, it's so dumb. What is this? You're not even sniffing inside. You're sniffing the... You're weird.
He's talking to Ezzy, by the way. Not
Ezzy had a hunger strike earlier in the week
again?
That lasted exactly one meal.
Oh, okay.
And I was like, ha! Ah. She just couldn't keep it going.
Yeah, I guess we watched it, and I wasn't sorry I watched it, but that was it. Like I said, I didn't bring it up on the podcast, I don't think, so it must not have made
I probably liked it better than, what was that one, Oblivion or whatever that he did recently?
Oh, yeah, I think I know the one.
I think I liked it better than that. But
oh, really?
Yeah.
I like
just because it's right to guard. The thing about Edge of Tomorrow is it has one conceit. It's a speculative fiction piece. It has one what if scenario.
Yeah,
and that's the movie.
Yeah,
and so that's fine. Until the last 5 minutes, and then it's bullshit.
I don't know. I think I like the other one better, but
See, that one gets too, has too much shit going on, and it doesn't do any of it particularly well.
No, that's true, but I mean, the other one, I remember being really impressed with the design aspects of it. I mean, so impressed that
aesthetically, it was
pretty cool. Just liked watching it. I didn't even care if the plot or anything. The ships and the weapons and the you know, all the computer interface and all that stuff. I thought, wow, that's really cool.
That was pretty cool.
And I got so caught up in that, I didn't really.
Actually, I should take it back. Some of it is still. Some of the things were ridiculously impractical, and so it still didn't work for me in places.
Okay.
But in general, you're right. The aesthetic was pretty cool.
Yeah, I just liked how it looked.
I'm getting old and crabby nowadays, so I'm way more into, why would they even have that? You know, that kind of
bullshit. Well, see, that I didn't used to be that way, where I might like the design, but if something else was wrong with it, I'd just totally write it off. Yeah. But just, it was, we brought this up several times, like Warehouse 13, there were so many things about the story and the arcs and stuff that I didn't like, but I liked how everything looked.
I liked how everyone interacted. Everything else about that show, although the look was good, everything else about that show was
a lot of the character interactions were good.
And that's the thing, if I like one thing well enough, I'll run with that. But
well, I didn't used to be that way, but I kind of am now.
Well, and I think otherwise I wouldn't watch anything, you know, because there's always something.
You know
to be
what I think?
About.
I think that's kind of what it's like for me. Is we enjoy watching stuff together, and well, we don't have to watch things. We can sit and talk or play a game or whatever, but we do like to watch things together and talk about what we like and don't like. So because we're not so much watching television as having a conversation and spending time together, sharing an experience, we can put up with a lot of stuff that we normally wouldn't if we were, it was just watching it by ourselves.
We don't talk a lot during, but we'll do a lot of, like, we turn something off and we'll talk about it.
I
did find an interesting thing, though, that today I'm talking with the producer about video games. Because she's looking for a new one to play. Because she's kind of bored with the stuff she has on her tablet. And she got this other thing and it wasn't that good. And so she's thinking about other stuff. There's things on the tablet that she's never played, but she's like, I'm out of the mood. And then she figures out, she says, I think what I'm going to do next is start watching TV again.
Oh.
Because there's a bunch of stuff on the DVR. But that's how, like, not into it we are now. There's a few things that we'll keep up on. But in general, it just sort of sits there for a while until we're in the mood. It's our alternative to, instead of playing a video game now, we'll watch some TV again. So.
Is that happening out? I mean, you know, I found that when I first started doing screenshots with my brother, I was surprised by how much he wasn't watching movies, TV, or whatever. I mean, I thought when I first came up with the concept and he was talking to me about it, I thought, man, we're going to have a ton to talk about. And we do have plenty of things to talk about. We haven't recorded an episode for a while for a variety of other reasons, but I was surprised by how much we didn't have to talk about because of the stuff he wasn't watching.
I think that is a thing.
Is that a thing?
There's two related reasons. Okay. One is, I think it's a cultural shift. People are getting to the point where they want their entertainment on demand, so they just want... They don't want to watch it when it airs. They want to watch it when they want to watch it, which may be a couple years from now. Who knows if there's other stuff they want to watch more. But, and here's the tricky part, and here's the one I'm very susceptible to. There's a lot of stuff I want to watch, but never right now. And so as long as I'm pretty confident that I could watch it later, it'll always be later.
Oh, yeah. So you might not watch it at all.
Exactly.
Now,
that problem with Defiance. I still haven't watched second season Defiance.
Yeah.
It's sitting there. I want to see it. I just don't ever want to see it right now. And it's on the DVR, so I'm like, I can watch it whenever. So eventually this DVR will break, and then I'm fucked.
But does that have the effect of making it so that people are demanding a higher quality product to watch right now? Or not? Do you know what I'm saying? Like...
I don't know.
Well, what makes something that a person has to watch right now?
Well, it's a burgeoning thing. Yeah. There's still a lot of people who watch stuff when it airs or watch stuff close to when it airs. People won't necessarily watch, but they have their DVR and they watch it that week or whatever. Yeah. To be involved in the conversation that is going on.
Like at work or wherever.
Or online or whatever.
Online, yeah.
I don't care about that. I'm also the late adopter on video games, same thing.
But you see what I'm saying? Like, if what you're saying is true... then the shows or movies that you feel like watching right now are likely going to be the ones that are actually really, that are better.
Theoretically, they are the shows that you feel are better, or at least of most interest to you right now.
Yeah.
But then there's weird stuff, like, well, there becomes what you're willing to tolerate. We have been dragging our feet on Transparent. We watched the first episode and loved it.
Oh.
And haven't been back. And it's, I mean, partially because it's just there, so we can grab it whenever. But there's also this, it takes an emotional investment.
Okay.
That we're not,
yeah.
You know, it's like, tonight, do you really feel like getting angsty over this? No, not tonight, you know.
Yeah.
So many movies that I'm like, that, I'm sure that's an awesome movie. I don't want to see it because it's just going to make me feel bad.
Yeah.
That is just my own, sad laziness. But I'm not alone in having that.
Yeah.
Boy,
it's so interesting the impact that technology has on
mm-hmm.
that it would really be hard for anyone to predict. I mean, it's probably not impossible to predict, like this would be a possibility, but some are so, they happen in such a subtle and sometimes elaborate way. It's hard to imagine anyone predicting it.
Video games and TV are also getting closer and closer together because you're getting like these Telltale games.
Yeah.
That are out and right now, Walking Dead and stuff, that is basically, there's very little interaction, but there is some, so you control the story. Mm-hmm. But otherwise, I mean, you're getting out of it the same thing you would out of a TV show.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And again, I haven't played Walking Dead for Telltale yet for the same reason. I'm like, I'm sure it's awesome, it's just going to make me feel bad. what else did I do? Trish was gone for a fair bit of the time.
Yeah.
So I did nothing useful during that time. I have officially made the decision. I know what game I'm running for my gaming group after I finish this campaign. I'm running a game called Earth Dawn, which is a game out of the late 90s that is a post-apocalyptic fantasy game that I really liked at the time. And so I thought I'd go for it, and I asked some of them, and they liked it, and so then I bought the books, and I've spent a fair bit of money buying the books, so now we're doing it, damn it.
Yeah.
I've had the financial investiture in that, but I think that's going to be fun. It's very different. It's much more old-school, gamey type of game. Lots more dice rolling, lots more, you know, narrow rules. Like, they actually are, there are classes, you know. You're a fighter, you're a wizard, you know, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
But it's got its interesting sort of spin on the whole fantasy genre. And I really enjoyed it before, so.
Well, Dave Avid's Games on Demand is this weekend, and I'm I don't want to miss it because it's going to be in Cedar Rapids, which
take means, your brother-in-law.
I was wondering, we've been wondering about that. Mark's going to be there. Well,
Mark's going to be there, don't take him then.
and his wife.
But, in that case, you can take him.
But I don't know. We'll see what he thinks. I don't know.
Obviously, don't force him to go. But
I think if he doesn't want to go naturally, we won't. But
it strikes me as something that people wouldn't be like, "Wow, that sucked." Like I don't really see that. They may not be as into it as me.
No.
Or even you.
I mean, I hope I don't want to miss it because this will only be the second opportunity I have to play with Mark and Michelle. But
yeah.
But you know, we're going to do whatever is best for for them and whatever for him. But I hope we can make it. But if we don't, that's why, because we got family over and we're working through stuff.
I'll be in Chillicothe visiting family, so
this weekend
I'm not going. Yeah, 8-year-old's birthday, and the other one who I want to say is 10. She's either 9 or 10. She might be 9. Is in a play.
Oh.
So we're going to do both of those things. That's mostly it. Oh, yesterday.
Okay.
For the first time ever in the afternoon, I worked from home.
Really? Like telecommuted?
Yes. I had never done that before. This winter, I suddenly, because before it was never an issue. I do, you know, admin clerical work. It's not stuff you can really do from home.
Mm-hmm.
You know, making photocopies, you can't really do in your house. But when things moved around, I'm sort of in a new job. I realized late in the winter, I actually basically do everything on the computer, and very little is like a physical thing, so I probably could work from home, so I should get the access to it. So I have a laptop at work now, mm-hmm. and I got the access so that I can connect to our network externally,
mm-hmm.
and then, of course, after that, it didn't ever snow really bad the rest of the winter.
Yeah, right.
Except for next winter. But so yesterday, we had network problems, and it got to be where, at least for me, I couldn't access email, I couldn't access the internet, I couldn't access any of the network stuff. And what they were saying was the probable issue had to do with our in-house network, not the actual assets. So I was like, I could go home and probably connect just fine. And so I did. I came home and I connected fine. I'm like, I'll be here this afternoon. And so I worked from home. First time ever.
How was that?
Weird.
Yeah, I think it would be weird.
I feel like
I've never done it myself.
I feel like overall I could get used to it and it would be really cool. But there was this weird feel like, because, you know, in an office setting, especially because, you know, we're not on phones or anything. It's just an office setting. Maybe this is saying too much, but strictly speaking, not every moment of the day is spent diligently working.
No, of course.
And
I mean, I think that goes without saying. Everybody
somehow that feels more okay because I'm at work, you know. I'm still being forced to be somewhere.
Because you are there, pick, yes. You know? Yeah.
When I'm at home, I had this constant feeling like any moment I'm... Because, like, I did a load of laundry while I was here. Because I was here and I meant to do it that night.
Yeah, yeah.
And that, but that whole time, a little part of me is like, you know... Somehow it feels like cheating if I'm not constantly working and I'm in my house, yeah. You know?
Yeah, you stop and have a 10-minute conversation with a coworker at work, no big deal.
Yes.
You take 5 minutes to load your laundry and it's like, oh my God, what did I do?
And here's the thing, I feel like I would get over it, but it makes me more critical of my own work ethic, and I don't like that feeling. When I take an hour-long nap at work just in the middle of the morning, you know, I'm still at work, so it's fine. Here, I doze off for a half hour and I feel guilty, so... We'll see. It would also be different if I did it more often, and different if, like, I started the day that way. I mean, yeah. This one I had been there and I came back, but
yeah.
I mean, it worked. I got stuff done.
No, sure, I'm sure you did.
And it worked. I didn't like typing on the actual keyboard of the laptop. It was a little like at work. I have docking stations and a regular keyboard.
Oh, okay.
So that was a little bit annoying, but I mean, it worked, and I could talk to people, and I didn't give out my number. But I was like, if somebody wants to call me, I'll give you my home number. And so, I mean, it went fine. It was kind of fun. It was a fun change of pace. I don't think it's something I want to do regularly.
But. Yeah. Yeah, I'm not sure I would... There are a lot of things that seems like it would be good or fun about it, but I don't think it's something that I would want to do. I mean, I find a lot of value in coming into an office yeah. where all the coworkers are. And yeah.
Well, but I mean, there are models nowadays where... somebody works from home for 1 or 2 days a week.
I guess.
And I'm like, at this point, there's still not really a point to
yeah,
it for
yeah,
me.
Yeah.
I live close enough. I'm in my house plenty already, you know.
I haven't got kids that I'm dealing with.
I don't know. I'm realizing I probably shouldn't have talked about this because my boss actively listens to the podcast, so this is weird. And she wasn't there yesterday or today. So, I really did like work, I promise. I worked just as much at home as I do when happen. I'm at the office. Yeah. So, I'll be looking for a job next week. All right, shall we have it?
Yeah, let's do.
Feels a little light. More people need to write to themagicaltalkinghead@gmail.com or else it's going to turn into a half-hour podcast where we just talk about movies we saw and then go away.
Craig wants to know, have you ever flipped a table in anger?
In anger?
Nope.
No.
No.
Just in arousal. Yeah, wait, that's a real thing, isn't it? That's like a romance thing where they like... fling the tables. Or is that knocking stuff off the desk? Is that how that's supposed to
go? It's just a thing you see in movies and TV.
Yeah, no. And people get mad playing games and stuff.
Yeah, playing games. Yeah,
that's where you usually
like
flip
chess
the table.
Or checkers, yeah,
exactly.
No, I never have. I've never...
I definitely have not. I'm trying to think if I've seen anybody do it.
Nope. Nope, I don't think I've even ever seen anybody.
I may have seen people flip like a board game board, but children.
Okay.
Like, I don't know that I've ever... I've heard tales of asshole people.
I I've never
witnessed it except maybe like a kid did it, like when they lost at Candyland or something. I definitely have seen a kid like knock all the stuff off the board. But no, I feel like that's sort of an urban legend. Except I know it's not, because again, I've heard, like, but that's wrong, people. Like, if you've got people and you're playing a game with them and they flip the board because they're mad. I mean, I also could see myself doing it if a game is over, like, as a joke. And I would, you know, that's the kind of shit I would pull. But genuinely, like, rage flip the table. They need help and you need to not hang out with them anymore.
I don't.
That's not okay amongst grown-ups.
I haven't really, at least
what
not.
What is this about? Twiglet never comes in during the recording.
Oh, I don't know.
Hey, Twiglet. What's up, kid?
Well, how about that? Coming kitty. Over, wanting some loving.
This is our other kitty, who's never here.
No. This might be a first.
Enormous.
This might be a first in the whole 214.
Is your purring coming in the mic? He's a very loud purr.
I don't think, I think we can hear that.
I can hear it. I mean, I don't know. It's not really showing up on the thing, but
maybe when I was a kid. But it had to be a long time ago. I don't think I've ever done anything violent, you know, in anger.
Oh, I'm sure. Flipping as a kid, I've thrown tantrums.
No, yeah, like, but not flipping a table, not punching somebody, not even throwing a plate or a chair. I don't generally get violent when I'm angry. I don't.
In my earlier unmedicated days, I did punch walls occasionally.
Oh, okay. Well, you know, and some people
that
say.
That sounds really scarier than it is.
Some people say, well, you know, when I get mad, I feel better if I punch a pillow or something. But that doesn't help me. Violence doesn't help me feel better. Well, at least, like I said, I've never really tried it, but I'm pretty sure it wouldn't.
Again, there were times in my unmedicated days, but.
Well, that did it
sound
it
like
help?
I'm on antipsychotics.
No, but wait,
people.
But did you feel better when you?
Yeah, sometimes.
Oh, really? Okay. I just don't. Violence just doesn't do it for me. It doesn't
not anymore. It doesn't for me. But also, I don't get mad real easy anymore.
Yeah. Well, you know.
Yeah. For those of you keeping score at home, I'm not on weird antipsychotics or anything. I am. I suffer from anxiety, and I used to be on St. John's Wort, and then for many years now I've been on Paxil, and it's different in a lot of ways. People don't realize I used to have a major temper, and people who know me now get really surprised by that fact.
I'm kind of surprised by it.
Well, and you haven't known me except on Paxil, so. Yeah. But yeah, and it was very up and down kind of thing. But yeah, I just had the ability to just spiral down real fast.
Kitten, what do you have to say?
I hope that's being picked up, otherwise it's extra stupid.
I think, if I can translate, I think Twiggle was saying, oh yeah, I flip tables all the time.
He does flip tables. He and Ezzy are still fighting right now, but it's so dumb. Like, Trish is gone.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, it's either Sunday night or Monday, I think it might be Monday night. And I'm in bed, and I'm going to sleep, but I just, like, turned off the light and everything. And I hear him out here. Serious bad cat fight, like like some cat is screaming and stuff, but it lasts like 3 seconds and then they're done, and I'm like, okay, I'm not gonna help if I go out there, they just attack me. It sounds like they're done, but then I'm like freaking out. I'm like, in the morning I'm gonna find out he killed Ezra or something.
Oh, no.
But I drifted off at some point. And because honestly I didn't think he'd kill her, but and then at some point I wake up enough, not much later.
Mm-hmm.
And they are both lying on the pillow next to me, curled up in a ball together. I'm like, God damn it. Work this shit out. They've been real pissed lately for very specific periods of time.
Yeah.
And it still happens now. Ezzy will just spontaneously decide she's freaked out about him, and she'll turn around and be like, oh. And, I don't know. Really fucking annoying. Also, Twiglet, I love you, but you're still really heavy. Even now with my elbows braced, like, it's tiring out my arm. All right, new question.
Tony's holding the cat up to his chest, and the microphone is on the kind of on the outside, so
Oh. Kitten wants to sniff it.
Twiglet wants
one.
To sniff it, okay.
Alright, this is another one from Craig.
Oh.
Apparently it's a Craigful day. Kind of like it was a Bethful day last
day,
time.
Yeah.
Would you rather box against Einstein or play chess against Mike Tyson? Well, this is interesting.
That depends on a lot of things.
Well, first of all, I'm not sure it's fair because I'm way more confident that Mike Tyson is a shitty chess player than I am that Einstein is a shitty boxer.
Yeah, because of course.
But
here's the thing.
I'm also way more confident that I'm a decent chess player than I am a shitty boxer. I'm not a decent chess player. I'm a way better chess player than I am a boxer.
Well, I can't guarantee that I wouldn't lose chess to Mike Tyson, but losing at chess...
He might flip the board.
Losing at chess
He strikes me as somebody who would flip the board
might,
if he got mad.
But losing at chess strikes me as being... I could probably take that better than even winning at boxing. I mean, you know what I'm saying?
Congratulations. You broke Einstein's nose.
Now, if Einstein and I are going to go to dinner afterwards, I'd probably pick boxing Einstein, and then after it's all over, we can get to know each other and talk about, you know, physics.
So
and
the
stuff.
Boxing is the price that you pay
to have a nice dinner with Einstein and
what
his
if,
brain.
What if you have to play Mike Tyson at chess to get him to go away?
No offense to Mike Tyson, but I have no interest.
Yeah, because that's a dangerous
game.
Yeah,
I have no interest in meeting him or getting to know him.
That's what it comes
down
to. Like the events. Oh no, it's very personal. I don't want to meet Mike Tyson.
To me, it's not personal. It's just, you know.
Well, he's a goddamn rapist for starters, so it's kind of personal.
Oh well, I guess I didn't really know that.
Yeah, and just all sorts of shit. Yeah, no, he's done a lot of terrible, terrible things.
But I think, like most people, I would have liked to, you know, if I could go back in time and meet and have a decent conversation with Albert Einstein, of course I'd do that.
Yeah, that's just a general thing. And here's the thing. I'm not saying that if I'm at a bar on vacation and Mike Tyson is there and wants to hang out, I'm going to be like, no, fuck you. Or even make him an excuse. Like, no, for the story, I would totally be like, yeah, so I hung out and had a drink with Mike. It was weird. Because I guarantee you, whatever happened, it was weird.
Yeah, probably.
But just in general, like all events aside... Do I want to hang out with Einstein or do I want to hang out with Mike Tyson?
Yeah,
Einstein. Absolutely.
Yeah, almost regardless of what you're hanging out doing.
And I'm a little curious to see how Einstein would do at boxing. Like, just out of curiosity.
Of course, you know, there's also the thing, well, if we're going to be engaged in a boxing match, I have to hit him, which, you know, I don't want to hit anybody. I'm really not.
You could miss a lot.
Much for hitting. That's true. I could let
That's
him
the
hit
thing.
Me.
I don't feel like I would try really hard.
I could let him hit me. I could take a dive. I could, you know.
Yeah, no, that's the thing. I don't feel like I would try real hard in the boxing. And, except maybe if he's really trying, I might try real hard to not get hit.
I don't know. Maybe I'd let myself get punched really good and then just hit the mat and stay there.
How much money would you pay to get beat up by Einstein? Gotten weird in here, people.
Yeah.
This cat is fucking heavy. Alright, I think we've milked that.
Yeah, I think we are burning through the questions here, buddy.
In that we're gonna do three.
Do you think just this last one will be?
I don't know. If it's stupid, it might go quickly.
Alright. Hopefully we can get some. Oh my gosh,
it won't be
Craig.
A yes or no question, because everybody who writes a yes or no question always has to put in and why.
Yeah.
Because otherwise we would just say yes or no and then we would leave.
So this is totally a Craig show.
Oh, the Craig show. Like Craig Kilborn? The former host of The Daily Show?
Craig Kilborn.
What's it say?
Are there any movies that you think deserve / need a sequel but never got one? I think my simple answer to that question is no. I don't think I've ever watched a movie. I mean, I've probably watched a movie where I thought, well, it'd be cool to know what happens to these characters, but it's I'm generally not a person who supports the whole idea of sequels in the first place. Not that there haven't been some good ones. But for the most part, I think if a film is well done, it's self-contained, it's perfectly fine the way it is, doesn't need a sequel. If you make a sequel and it's good, okay, you basically beat the odds. But I would be fine if I lived in a universe where sequels didn't exist.
I did recently see a Cracked After Hours video that was talking about epilogues to films that would have made sequels that were probably cooler than the films. and that was interesting as an idea. But in general, I feel like I'm with you. And I've liked some sequels, but I'm okay with not having...
Yeah, I can't imagine ever wishing there was a sequel. Now, that said, my favorite type of storytelling is serialized storytelling, you know, so... But that's not... So it...
Yes.
On one hand, you'd think I would love
sequels.
My favorite
type is limited serialized storytelling. Yeah, yeah. I don't like these damn 5-6 season arcs.
Yeah, yeah.
I like something that... I like the way the Brits have done it, you know, where this is a story and it lasts for one season and then it's done.
Or two, but it's like 6 shows. There's three here and three there kind of thing. Yeah, I totally agree with
that. Well, and even when they keep running them, usually it's a story arc. Per season.
Yeah.
And a lot of shows nowadays don't even fucking do that.
But
by the way, how do you feel about this whole X-Files coming back thing?
Oh, I don't know. I mean, I was never a huge fan of the X-Files to begin with.
Really? Interesting.
Well, the thing is, in its heyday, it was on during a time in my life where I didn't even own a television, so I wasn't going to be able to watch it. Now, my brother and my oldest brother and my sister were both pretty big X-Files fans.
Yeah.
And a lot of my friends are pretty big X-Files fans. So, you know, if everybody I know gets excited about it, I'll probably think it's great. But if everybody I know hates the idea, then I'll probably think that too, because I don't really have an opinion about it either way. What about you? What's your opinion?
Hold on.
Your cat's giving you some...
He's being very needy. Some serious love. I never liked this idea. I didn't like...
The films that came out?
I never saw those. I didn't like that Arrested Development was doing another season.
Mm.
Now I watched it, and I enjoyed it.
Mm.
But I feel like they lucked out.
Okay.
I always just think that's a terrible idea.
Yeah.
Maybe you do like a reunion episode. I get the desire to be like, it's been 20 years. Let's get these characters back together for a day or whatever. But you don't do another season or another show. That feels weird. And here's the thing about X-Files. It got shitty.
Well, I've heard that, yeah.
It got shitty. It also wrapped up most of the stuff, killed off a lot of the characters, and was just a damn long time ago.
Mm-hmm.
Not to mention, spoiler alert for the very end of X-Files, the end of X-Files ended with the revelation that aliens were going to invade en masse in 2012. So... this is going to be weird. And I'm just like, no. I mean, it's been too long. Why? No. To me, it's the equivalent of rebooting it, which I'm also not in favor of.
Yeah, again, while it was on, I didn't even have a TV. I might have watched it if I did, but... So I don't really have an opinion about it either way.
I don't think the numbers lie, unfortunately. People in general are more comfortable with sequels and remakes and reboots. And everybody complains about it, but they actually watch those
things. No, that's right. Yeah, you're right.
Because there's a comfort in it.
Numbers
and
are there
I guess I get that, but mostly I don't like it. And I don't watch that. But I still fall victim to it. Some stuff I'm like, oh my God, they're remaking this. I totally have to see this.
I don't know if X-Files was still doing it, but it was streaming on Netflix for a while. And even then I didn't really... wasn't interested in watching it. The thing is, alien stuff doesn't interest me that much.
Oh.
I'm not a big...
That's what they want you to think.
I'm not big on alien stories. They just don't. I just don't like them.
Here's one that's.
I don't hate them, but I don't really like them.
There's a show coming out. I don't even remember the channel. Maybe Lifetime. I'm not sure. There's a show coming out soon. It's a reality TV show.
Mm-hmm.
It's about two families. And
no,
he likes to eat my buttons. Oh. You're not allowed. It's about two families, and their connection is that a son from one and daughter from other are dating.
Okay.
And the reason it's a TV show is in both of these families, the father is transitioning to being a woman.
In both of them?
In both of them. Both the dads are transitioning to being a woman.
Okay. And so just by a coincidence, they've got kids that are dating each
Apparently.
Other?
Apparently.
Huh.
And I'm so torn because I really like that they're paying attention to this, that they're going to look at this, that this is a thing. It's still goddamn reality TV.
Yeah.
And I'm going to hate it for that. And I probably won't watch it. But I'm just real conflicted. I kind of feel like this is one of those things, like, I don't want to see it, I wouldn't like it, but I'm glad it exists. But I'm not 100% sure that's true either. I just have very conflicted feelings about it. I like that this is becoming... that this is coming into the mainstream more. That this is a topic we're dealing with, and it's no longer just comic relief or something like that. But, yeah, I don't know. Weird.
On the radio on the way here, I heard that Alison Bechdel... It's Alison Bechdel, right? Is that her first name, Alison?
I don't remember, and it's tricky because Bechdel's not the one who invented the Bechdel test.
Okay.
So it's weird.
Well, anyway, she...
Joe, let's say Joe Bechdel.
You know, she wrote a kind of a autobiographical memoir, or like an illustrated, you know, a graphic novel form memoir of her life.
Mm.
Called Fun Home, which is what, you know, she grew up, her father, I guess, ran a funeral home. So, they would call it Fun Home. But, anyway, she wrote this about her life, and recently there's going to soon be released a Broadway musical based on it.
Okay.
And I'm not into musicals very much, and mostly
I am.
Mostly because I think the songs from musicals, to me, they sound silly and the lyrics are forced, and I mean, I just don't really like them. But they were playing some stuff from this musical, and it sounded really interesting and fascinating. I was really surprised. And Alison Bechdel, if it is Alison, maybe I'm getting that wrong. She herself, when she first heard that someone wanted to make a musical out of it, thought, how would you even do that?
That does seem like a weird...
but it's like... I just saw heard pieces of it, mind you.
Yeah.
But it seemed to work. So I'm kind of interested in it. But I mean, I don't know when I'm ever going to hear it or see it. But I thought that you might be interested to know that was going on. I hadn't realized that was going on.
I am interested. My left arm has gone completely numb at this
point.
They're supposedly making a movie version of the book Ready Player One, which I listened to the audiobook a little while back, and I talked about it here. I enjoyed the book, but mostly I think it would make a really good movie, so I'm kind of excited.
Oh, okay.
And Spielberg's attached to it. The big thing is it's going to be you're going to need to buy the rights to a ton of 80s movies and music and video games in order to do it properly.
Mm.
But with Spielberg attached, maybe there's enough money. But I think it would make a really good movie. So, all right. I think we need to shut this down, but I got to get this can out of the way to do it. Kitten, you got to get... Oh, man.
That's funny you call this big cat a kitten.
Come on, kitten.
Well, it's certainly not the biggest cat I ever saw, but it's a pretty big cat.
He's losing weight. He's actually way skinnier than he was.
Well, I mean, when I say big, I don't mean so much as, like,
no,
fat.
I mean, he's way bigger than he was. I mean, he's way smaller than he was.
But I mean, even if he was skinny, he'd be a big tom cat.
He is a very large build. He's me in cat form. Like, so much about him. He's really big. He's pretty fat. He's pretty lazy, except when he doesn't want to be, and then he can be really fast. He likes to cultivate this attitude of being really mean, but really he doesn't have the energy to actually be mean. Like, he's my cat. It's really weird.
Pretty loud purr, too.
A loud purr. I'm also a loud purr. Kidding, you got anything you have to say? I hope you guys are picking this up, because I'm picking it up. William's picking it up, and he's like 5 feet away.
Yeah.
If you'd like your own cat, visit a local shelter and rescue a kitty.
Yeah.
In the meantime, write the hat, themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. Go to the blog, themagicaltalkinghat.com. Mark's almost caught up, so pretty soon people will actually pay attention to what he says.
Of course, he skips some, so.
Yeah. No, mostly it always cracks me up when he's catching up, because he gives detailed comments on stuff, and I'm like, I full-on don't remember what. And you even reminded me. I still don't remember what it is. So, yeah. But I'm like, but soon he'll be caught up. And Jazz will be there, and other people. Other people pop by every once in a while. Beth, Azure Talon popped by not long ago, I think.
Yeah, that's good to know.
And William and I are there. I mostly just make fun of people, but it's like the podcast. Maybe Twiglet will be there. Seriously, can you hear that? I hope you can. It's really loud. You can also like us on Facebook, and listen to us again next week. And that's all you can do. This is a good way to end it if they can hear the purring. If they can't, it's just really stupid.
Yet another mystery solved by the hosts of the Magical Talking Hat. Do you have a question that begs to be answered? Then please write the hat at themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. That's themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. Also, visit the hat at themagicaltalkinghat.com. The music for this episode was provided by Kevin MacLeod of Incompetech.com.